Lady Nasaba, keeper of the sacred tablet and bearer of the reed stylus, I call to you. Ancient mother of writing and wisdom, you who taught humanity to shape breath into symbol and memory into record, be present with me now. Guide my mind and steady my hand. Goddess of grain and knowledge, nourisher of both body and intellect, bring clarity where there is confusion and truth where there is uncertainty. As you once guided the scribes of the temples, help me give form to the words that wish to be spoken and written. Great scribe of heaven and earth, bless this work of voice and thought. May my words be measured, honest, and nourishing to those who receive them. The young apprentice sat cross-legged on the cool clay floor off the temple school. Outside, the city of Uruk hummed with the rhythms of early morning. Merchants prepared their stalls in the marketplace. Farmers guided their donkeys loaded with grain through the narrow streets. Temple bells rang softly as priests began their daily offerings to the gods. But inside the Ejuba, the scribal house, there was only quiet concentration. Before the apprentice lay a small slab of wet clay. In her hand, she held a reed stylus, its tip carefully cut to form the wedge-shaped marks that scholars would one day call cuneiform. She pressed the stylus gently into the clay. One mark, then another. The shapes formed words. There were the names of fields, the numbers of cattle, the list of offerings destined for the temple granaries. To an outside observer, the scene might have seemed ordinary, just a student learning a practical skill. But to the Sumerians, something far more sacred was taking place. For every mark pressed into clay was believed to exist under the watchful gaze of a goddess who knew every word ever written, a goddess who recorded the destinies of cities and of kings, a goddess whose wisdom flowed through the hands of scribes. Her name was Nisaba. In the ancient world, writing was a sacred act. Before ink, before paper and books, there were clay tablets pressed with wedge-shaped marks. Those marks recorded the harvests, trade, prayers, laws, and even hymns. They preserved memory in a way that human speech alone could not. Words that might have disappeared into the air now became permanent. In ancient Mesopotamia, the people who created this remarkable system of writing believed that such power couldn't simply just belong to the humans. Writing had to be guided by a divine intelligence, and that divine intelligence was a goddess named Nisaba. Nisaba, which is also spelled Nidaba, she was one of the most important intellectual deities of ancient Mesopotamia. She appears in ancient Sumerian texts as early as the 3rd millennium BC and was widely venerated in cities such as Uma, Magesh, and Uresh. But her story begins in a much simpler place. Originally, Nisaba was associated with grain and agriculture, a role that reflected the central importance of farming in early Mesopotamian society. The fertile river valleys of the Tigris and Euphrates made large-scale agriculture possible. In grain harvests, they sustained the earliest cities. Her name may even have been derived from a word connected to barley, or even harvest, linking her directly to the life-giving cycles of the earth. In the earliest phase, Nisaba was the goddess who made the grain grow. Yet the development of civilization would transform her role in a very extraordinary way. As agriculture expanded, so did trade. Grain had to be stored. It had to be distributed and taxed and accounted for. Temple complexes and palace administrations, they needed a reliable way to track all of these transactions. And this practical need gave birth to one of the greatest innovations in human history, and that's writing. The earliest writing in Mesopotamia wasn't poetry or literature, it was accounting. Clay tablets, they recorded shipments of barley, temple offerings, labor assignments, and trade agreements. Symbols were pressed into wet clay using a stylus, creating the earliest form of cuneiform, the wedge-shaped script that would dominate the Near East for thousands of years. Because Nisaba was the goddess who made the grain grow, she naturally became associated with the records that tracked that grain. Scholar Patricia Monahan describes this transformation specifically, and she says, Nisaba, formerly goddess of grain, became associated with writing as records were made regarding grain transactions. As the great lady who made the grain grow, she also oversaw the accounts of where it was distributed and how. Over time, the connection deepened until writing itself became her specific domain. She eventually became known by a remarkable title, The Lady in the Place Where She Approaches, There Is Writing. This transformation tells us something profound about the ancient Mesopotamian imagination. Writing wasn't merely technology, it was a sacred reflection of order. As the use of writing expanded from simple accounting to literature, to communication, law, and temple records, the role of Nisaba expanded with it. She became the goddess of literacy, the goddess of knowledge, accounting, mathematics, and even scholarship. In the great temple schools of Sumer, students learned to write by copying hymns that were dedicated to her. One ancient hymn praises her with these words specifically, Lady of wisdom who opens the mouth of the learned, who makes the wise heart rejoice. Another text describes her with an equally striking title, the goddess who holds the tablet of the stars. This poetic image reveals yet another dimension of her power. Nisaba wasn't only the guardian of the earthly records. She was associated with cosmic knowledge, including astronomy and the observation of the heavens. In ancient Mesopotamia, astronomy wasn't simply an academic discipline. Observing the sky was essential for determining agricultural cycles. It was essential for ritual calendars and even making royal decisions. The movement of the stars was believed to reflect divine patterns that were governing the world. To say that Nisaba held the quote, tablet of the stars, meant that she recorded not only human activity, but the movements of the cosmos itself. So writing became a mirror of cosmic order. To understand why this mattered so deeply, we need to place Nisaba within the larger religious worldview of ancient Mesopotamia. The Sumerians imagined the universe as a vast and structured system governed by a divine hierarchy. At the highest level were the primordial gods. We have An, the sky god, Enlil, the lord of wind and authority, and Enki, the god of wisdom, water, and creative intelligence. Beneath these great powers existed a council of deities that we know today as the either Anunnaki or Anunnaki. The name Anunnaki roughly translates to the offspring of An. These gods function almost like a cosmic administration. In the mythological texts, they appear as divine judges, rulers of nature, and even overseers of civilization. They determined the fate of kings. They govern natural forces, and they maintain the balance between heaven, earth, and the underworld. The Anunnaki appear in many Mesopotamian myths, including the Epic of Gilgamesh, where they're described as shaping the destiny of humanity. Within this divine council, Nisaba held an unusual and important role. She wasn't merely an agricultural deity. She became the divine scribe of the gods. If the Anunnaki governed the universe, someone had to record their decisions, and someone had to preserve memory. That responsibility fell to Nisaba. Several Sumerian hymns, they celebrate her mastery of the written tablet. One hymn calls upon her with these words specifically, Nisaba, open the house of understanding, lead the student along the path of knowledge. Here, the goddess appears not only as a patron of scribes, but as a teacher of wisdom. The presence of Nisaba in temple schools shows how deeply writing and religion were intertwined in ancient Mesopotamia. As the use of cuneiform expanded, a formal system of education developed. Scribal schools that were known as eduba, meaning tablet house, they began to appear all throughout Sumer. Scholar Betty DeShong Midor explains that by around 2000 BC, Sumer possessed one of the earliest formal education systems in human history. Students in these schools, they learned to read and write cuneiform by copying these long lists of signs. They copied legal formulas, and they reproduced literary texts. Most scribes were young men that were training for careers in temples or even palace administration. But archaeology reveals something quite fascinating here. Women were scribes as well. One of the most famous examples is in Heduana, the high priestess of Ur and one of the earliest known named authors in world history. Her hymns to the goddess Inanna survive on these ancient tablets, with some of them bearing her specific signature. Hundreds of years later, female scribes also appear amongst the Naritu, a religious community of women living in cloisters in the city of Sipar. These women used their literacy to conduct business, to manage property, and to maintain records. For the first time in history, knowledge itself was being systematically recorded and preserved, and Nisaba stood at the center of this intellectual revolution. Students in scribal schools often ended their tablets with a phrase of devotion reading, "Praise be to Nisaba." One young student even wrote something remarkably personal on a tablet, "I am the creation of Nisaba." This statement reveals how deeply the goddess was associated with the identity of the scholar. Even the earliest pictographic forms of cuneiform reflect this relationship. When Nisaba was still primarily a grain goddess, she was represented by the pictogram of a grain stalk. Early pictograms didn't symbolize abstract ideas. They represented the thing itself. So when the grain symbol appeared in writing, it wasn't merely referring to grain. It was also invoking the presence of Nisaba. Later, when she became the goddess of writing, the symbolism evolved further. Nisaba was no longer only the grain. She became the written word itself. She was the language. She was literacy. She was communication. She was the writer and the written word at once. Over time, Nisaba's influence extended into mathematics, astronomy, scholarship, and creative inspiration. The great poet priestess in Heduana once described her as follows, "Faithful woman, exceeding in wisdom." Another hymn calls her this, "A lady with cunning intelligence." She was the goddess of the creative mind. One of the most famous hymns to Nisaba opens with these extraordinary lines. "Lady, colored like the stars of heaven, holding a lapis lazuli tablet. Nisaba, great wild cow, born of Urus, opening the mouth for 7 reeds, perfectly endowed with 50 great divine powers." These invocations reveals how the scribes experienced their work. Writing wasn't simply mechanical, it was an act of divine collaboration. Authors asked Nisaba for inspiration at the beginning of their works, and they praised her when they finished. To write was an honor to the goddess herself, but the religious world of Mesopotamia did not remain static. During the rise of the Babylonian Empire, a new figure gradually replaced Nisaba as the patron deity of writing. And this was God Nabu. Nabu was the son of the powerful god Marduk and became closely associated with kingship, wisdom, and scribal culture. His rise to prominence occurred during the reign of the famous Amorite king Hammurabi in the 18th century BC. Hammurabi expanded Babylon into a major empire, and he elevated the status of his patron gods in the process. Many of these were male deities associated with warfare and royal power, and these included Marduk, the god Assur, and Ninurta. As their prominence increased, the status of many goddesses declined. Nisaba gradually lost her position as the chief patron of scribes, and Nabu inherited that role. In later traditions, Nisaba was sometimes described as Nabu's teacher, suggesting that he inherited the wisdom tradition that she once embodied. In other texts, she appears as his consort, keeping the records and library of the gods, while Nabu presided over inspiration and prophecy. Even so, Nisaba was never entirely forgotten. Her temple at Eresh, which is sometimes called Esagin, it means House of Lapis Lazuli. It remained a center of worship for over 1,000 years. Scribes, astronomers, mathematicians, and scholars continued invoking her name long after Nabu rose to prominence. She was still included in the pantheon of the Neo-Assyrian gods between roughly 912 and 612 BC. When the Neo-Assyrian Empire collapsed in 612 BC and invading armies destroyed many of the temples, some gods were targeted specifically for vengeance, but Nisaba and Nabu were largely spared. By that time, they were remembered not only as Assyrian gods, but as part of this older and broader religious heritage of Mesopotamia. Worship of Nabu continued into the Greek and Roman periods. Nisaba's cult remained more localized, mostly within Mesopotamia itself, although she continued to be revered by scholars and scribes. By the time of the Seleucid period between 312 and 63 BC, the old religious traditions of Mesopotamia were slowly fading away. As Christianity spread throughout the region, the ancient gods gradually disappeared from living worship. But their stories didn't vanish. They remained preserved in clay tablets buried beneath the earth for thousands of years. When modern archaeologists uncovered these tablets, they revealed something remarkable. The earliest civilization that we know left behind not only cities and laws, but a goddess devoted to knowledge itself. So in a world that's flooded with information, Nisaba reminds us of something ancient and even sacred, that writing is not only a tool. It's memory, it's continuity. It allows ideas to travel across centuries. Every book, every inscription, every preserved story carries a small echo of the insight that the Sumerians understood thousands of years ago. Words shape civilizations. And somewhere in the mythic imagination of the ancient world, a goddess still sits with the lapis lazuli tablet in her hands, quietly recording the story of humanity. If somebody wants to build a spiritual practice that's centered on Nisaba, it would naturally emphasize study, writing, sacred memory, and cultivation. She's less a goddess of ecstatic trance, and more a goddess of clarity, insight, and intellectual devotion. You could consider creating a small shrine to Nisaba if you feel connected to her, and this shrine could include a clay tablet or even a notebook, a stylus, a pen, or a calligraphy brush, potentially barley or wheat, a small bowl of grain, a lamp or candle for illumination, and consider earthly colors such as gold, clay, wheat tones. All of these fit her symbolism. And the shrine for her should feel like a sacred study space, not just an altar. If we consider offerings for Nisaba, historically grounded offerings might include the following. Of course, grain offerings, barley, wheat, bread, and beer. Of course, Sumerians brewed from barley. Creative offerings can include writing poetry for her, copying sacred texts, journaling insight, even, of course, lapis lazuli. Knowledge offerings might include the following: dedicated time to studying, learning new languages, and studying astronomy or even mythology. One powerful devotional act would simply be this. Just begin a study session by invoking her because Nisaba was believed to guide the scribes and the scholars. A simple ritual to Nisaba might look like this. Consider a modern devotional ritual that includes lighting a candle, placing grain on the altar, holding a pen or stylus, and speak an invocation. Write a prayer or even ask a question. Here is an example of an invocation to Nisaba if you're interested. Nisaba, Lady of the Sacred Tablet, she who measures heaven and earth, open the gates of understanding. May my mind become clear like polished clay, and my words carry truth. Teach me to record what is worthy of memory. Afterward, you can write freely for several minutes. And this essentially, this practice, it mirrors what ancient scribes effectively did every day. When we reflect on Nisaba today, we might see her not only as an ancient agricultural goddess or divine scribe, but maybe even as an archetype of knowledge, of literacy, and intellectual creativity. She stands at the beginning of a long human story, and this is the story of writing itself. From the earliest clay tablets of Sumer to the books and even the digital texts of today's world, the written word has shaped the way that humans understand reality. And in the imagination of the Sumerians, that transformative power was guided by a goddess who watched over every stylus pressed into clay, a goddess who knew every word ever written. And this is Nisaba, Lady of the Tablet, Keeper of Wisdom, Recorder of the Cosmos.